Good morning and welcome to this funeral service for John Musselman. I want to extend a warm welcome also to those of you who may be watching the service online. We regret that you're not able to be present with us, but know that the family is appreciative of your thoughts and your prayers. May the Lord be in our midst, beloved family. May the Lord also grant his presence among us. May we find comfort in his word and in the fellowship of one another as members of the family. Every funeral service confronts us again with the reality of death. And it reminds us that unless the Lord returns in our lifetime, all of us, every single person on the face of the earth, will one day have to die. The Bible says that death is the judgment of God against sin. God created man good and in his image, and he gave him a beautiful home, the Garden of Eden, as a place to live, a place to play, a place to work, a place to enjoy fellowship and communion with God. And in the midst of that garden, God placed two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, you may freely eat of all the trees of the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, the day you eat of that tree, you will surely die. But man of his own free will and by the instigation of the devil partook of that tree, and in doing so brought upon himself and the whole human race the curse of death. The good news of the gospel is that God in his infinite love and mercy provided man with a way of escape. And he came to man and he promised that he would send the seed of the woman who would bruise the head of the serpent. And as a result of his coming into the earth, the effects of the fall would be reversed and we could be reconciled to God and receive the gift of everlasting life. And in the fullness of time, God fulfilled that promise. And he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And he assumed our flesh and blood. He suffered. And he died on the cross. And thus assuaged the wrath of God against sin. And he rose again on the third day, victorious over sin, over death, over Satan, over all of his enemies. And the message of the gospel is that those who believe on this Savior, who trust in him, who look to him alone as their only hope and ground of salvation, they have everlasting life. And based on his own testimony and confirmed by his walk of life, we may believe that your beloved husband and father and grandfather is now with him. And the Bible also teaches that one day his soul, which is now with the Lord Jesus, shall be reunited with his body on the day of judgment, when the Bible says the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead will be raised. And the souls of believers will be reunited with their bodies, and they shall stand before him, an exceedingly great army, as Ezekiel saw in his vision. And they will live forever in his presence to all eternity, in a recreated heaven and earth, a place where there is no more sin, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more death. And that's why we say with the Apostle Paul this morning, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear family, may this be your comfort today and in the days to come. Let us not mourn, as those who have no hope. For we have every hope in Christ. Let us begin by singing together from Psalter number 53, which you can find in your Psalter. I would ask that whatever Psalter you use, don't put it back in the Psalter. I'm not sure what they call that actually, in the where you got it from, but instead that you would put the Psalter and the Bibles that you use on the pew, so that they can be disinfected after the service. We're going to sing together Psalter number 53, all of the stanzas. Let us now unite our hearts in prayer and ask the Lord for His blessing. Our gracious God in heaven, Thou who art eternal, who has no beginning and no end, the God of our fathers, who dwells in light inaccessible, who by His power has formed us out of the dust of the earth, and in His providence does return us to that dust in His own time and in His own way. We come into Thy holy presence this morning as we gather together for this funeral service for a most beloved husband and father and grandfather, John Musselman. We look back, Lord, with fondness, the many years that we could know him. We thank Thee for his love, for his faithfulness, for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of this, Lord, we do not mourn as the world mourns. The world mourns without hope. The world mourns thinking that this life is all that there is, and there is no eternity. But we know different, because we believe thy word. And thy word teaches us that those who die in the Lord do not die. Oh yes, their body is lifeless, but the soul lives on, and it goes immediately to be with its Maker, and it is safe in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, who rose again, and who reigns forevermore, and who sends out his servants to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and the glorious gospel of salvation, which teaches us that though we must die, there is a way that we can live, and it is through faith in him. And, O Lord, we pray, wilt thou graciously comfort us with this gospel message and with these precious truths that we hope to hear proclaimed again out of thy word. Lord, wilt thou remember the family. There are those who are not able to be with us this morning because of the current pandemic or because of great distance, which is impossible, particularly for those of older age. We think of them. We commend them, Lord, to thy grace. But we are grateful that we may be here. Also the family from Washington, and even though, Lord, they were held up at the border, we are still grateful for their presence and for making it all possible. And we pray that we may find comfort and strength and encouragement in each other as family, in this day and in the days to come, but especially that we may find comfort in the Lord. But they'll remember especially the grieving widow. She is being left behind now after so many years of marriage. And that is always a painful thing, to be separated from a spouse whom you have known, who's become part of you. And that is a sorrow, Lord, that we cannot fully grasp. And we pray, wilt thou uphold and strengthen her, and wilt thou graciously fill that empty place in her heart and in her home with a special measure of thy presence. And wilt thou grant her also, Lord, peace with thy ways. And wilt thou grant that through these circumstances she too may come to that same measure of assurance of salvation that her husband had. And indeed, Lord, what a joy it was to speak with him about his hope in the Lord. So strong, so childlike, so sincere. And what an example he has set for us. And we pray, Lord, grant thy grace that we may follow in his footsteps. We pray for thy servant as he proclaims the word of God this morning. Lord, he is but a man, weak and sinful. But he comes with the word of God. And we pray that our ears may be open to hear that word. We pray that it may be a blessing to our souls, that it may be applied by the work of thy Holy Spirit. And that when we go from here, while we mourn, we may also rejoice in thy goodness and favor toward us. Wilt thou graciously pardon all of our many sins. Be with us, we pray, in this hour, and grant that thy name may receive all the glory and the praise. We ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to turn to the Holy Scriptures, to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, as we read the verses 1 to 30. John chapter 10, the verses 1 to 30. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Therefore there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, "He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked to the temple in Solomon's porch. And then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." The text for our message this morning is taken from this portion of the Word of God, John 10, and the verses 27 to 29. I'll read those verses again. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Shall we sing in response to the reading of the Word of God, Psalter number 426, the stanzas 1, 8, and 9. 426, 1, 8, and 9. Dear family and friends, we are, as you know, gathered here for the funeral service of your dear husband and father and grandfather, John Musselman. Only a few months ago, John was diagnosed with cancer. And refusing to seek treatment, he somehow knew that this was the end for him. The Lord was calling him home. And so almost immediately he set about arranging his affairs. He sold his farm providentially to his neighbor. He updated his will, made sure that his wife was well provided for. He gave away substantial amounts to the work of the Lord, whom he loved and served. He spoke to his children and his grandchildren as the opportunity arose. And then, almost strangely, he waited for the end to come. John stayed in his home for as long as possible, receiving visitors and resting. Eventually, he could no longer be cared for at home, and so he was admitted to the Abbotsford Hospital, the palliative care unit. And after only a short stay there, the end came. And John breathed his last, and his soul entered into glory. I didn't know him all that well. I knew him for several years. He would often pick blueberries in the same farm where my kids picked blueberries during the summer. He didn't do it for the money, of course, because there's no money in it at all. But he did it because he just enjoyed being outdoors, and he enjoyed the fellowship that he had there with my children, as well as with the people, the others who worked there. One thing that always struck me about him is that behind this very quiet and simple demeanor, he was a hard-working man, a faithful man, a man who loved his wife dearly and loved his children and his grandchildren. And these are all, of course, very commendable qualities, and we will miss that in him. But what impressed me most of all about John was his simple, even childlike faith and trust in the Lord. And throughout the last months of his life, as I visited him, I don't recall him ever complaining. And what amazed me even more was the fact that he never struggled with assurance. Sometimes towards the end of your life, the devil comes with his assaults and he tries to take away that sense of peace that the Lord gave you when you first came to know him. And that never happened with him. He was always at peace. He always was full of assurance. He trusted in Christ his Savior, and he knew that although he himself was not worthy of it, that God would be faithful and he would save him and love him even to the end. I said to my consistory after he passed away that if there ever was a man that died well, it was John. He was an example to me. And now he's gone. And he will be missed sorely by his wife, of course, by his children, his grandchildren, and friends who knew him. But beloved, while we mourn today, we do not mourn as the world mourns. For we have something that the world does not have. We have hope. Hope in Christ. I mentioned already that the Bible says that those who die in the Lord do not really die. Their soul is transported to heaven where it is with God. And it remains there until the day of resurrection, when the soul will be reunited with the body, and we shall stand before God and live before Him forever and ever and ever. And that gives us great hope for Him and for all who know the Lord Jesus Christ. But how do we know this? How can we be so sure that this is the case? Is this just wishful thinking, what I've just said? Is this just a crutch that we have constructed to lean on in times of grief and times of sorrow to help us to cope with our grief? Well, some may say that that's exactly what we are doing, but we know better. We know these things are true because God has said so in His Word. And we read together from John chapter 10. And in that chapter, that well-known chapter, the Lord Jesus compares Himself to a shepherd. And not just any shepherd, but the good shepherd. And He compares His people to sheep. Now, something that Elizabeth told me a while ago when we were talking about what I should preach about today, she mentioned, well, Dad really loved sheep. And so right away your mind goes to the various passages in the Bible that speak about sheep. Psalm 23 came to mind, of course, which we sang. But then I was thinking about John chapter 10, where Jesus compares Himself to a shepherd and to His people as sheep. And we talked about that and we said, well, what about that passage? And right away, yes, that seemed appropriate. And indeed it is appropriate. What a beautiful picture we have in this chapter of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a shepherd. He's a Savior. He is God. He is King, He is prophet, He is priest, He is all those things, but He is also a shepherd. And that image, that speaks volumes, doesn't it? It tells us what kind of person Jesus is. It gives us a glimpse into His heart. Because what does a shepherd do? A shepherd cares for the sheep. A shepherd provides for the sheep. A shepherd protects the sheep. A shepherd, even if necessary, will lay down his life for the sheep. And Jesus did all of these things. And He still does these things. Even today, as He has ascended up into heaven, we hope to commemorate that tomorrow. His ascension into heaven, what is He doing there? He is protecting, He is feeding His sheep. Until one day when He brings them all to glory. He is a shepherd. And in that respect, He is completely unlike the hireling that Jesus mentions in this chapter. The hireling is somebody who's hired out by the farmer to look after the sheep in his place. But because the hireling doesn't own the sheep, Jesus says that when the hireling sees the wolf coming, what does he do? He flees. He runs away. Why? Because he doesn't care for the sheep. They're not his. They don't belong to him. And so when the wolf comes and catches the sheep, he scatters them and the hireling flees away. But Jesus is not like them. No, Jesus loves the sheep. He loves them so much that he laid down his life for them. It's a beautiful image. Jesus is the shepherd. But there's another beautiful image here. Believers are like sheep. In what way is a believer in Christ like sheep? Well, I can think of many different ways, but let me just limit myself to two things. I don't know a lot about sheep. I've never been a farmer. So everything that I'm telling you comes out of books and what I've observed. But one thing we can say about sheep is that sheep are helpless creatures. They're probably the most helpless creatures of all the creatures that the Lord God has made. They have no defense mechanisms. They don't have sharp horns. They can't run very fast. They don't have poisonous stings. They don't have sharp teeth. And when they're being attacked, all they can do is either huddle together and hope against hope that they'll be spared, or they run away as fast as their legs can take them. They're helpless. And isn't that a beautiful picture of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Believers also can do nothing apart from Him. They are utterly helpless. They cannot produce fruit themselves. They cannot even come to faith in Christ by themselves. They are utterly dependent upon Him for everything. Another thing I notice about sheep is that they're prone to wander. You've heard the expression, I'm sure, wandering sheep. And there's a great deal of truth in that expression, because that's what sheep do. Sheep by nature are prone to wander. They may be feeding in a certain pasture, and when all the green grass is eaten up, then they'll move away and they'll find another pasture and another, and before long they're separated from the shepherd and the rest of the flock. And the shepherd has to go out and look for them. And as Jesus tells us in the parable, he has to leave the 99 in the wilderness to go after the one. Sheep wander away. And isn't that true of every believer in Christ? We also wander, don't we? We get so easily distracted. So easily tempted. And we forget that without the shepherd, we can do nothing. And we think that we can do it ourselves. We cannot do it ourselves. We need Him for every moment of every day. And so believers are like sheep, but they're not like ordinary sheep. And what distinguishes them from other sheep is what Jesus says here in our text in verse 17. He says, "My sheep hear My voice." It's interesting about shepherds that the sheep actually can detect the sound of the shepherd's voice. So in the morning when it's time to go and find pasture, the shepherd will call the sheep out of the sheepfold, and they will all put their heads up and they'll hear the voice of the shepherd. And the shepherd will open the gate and the sheep will gather around him. And where the shepherd goes, the sheep will follow, because they trust the shepherd. They trust that he knows where the green pastures are, where the still waters flow. Well, Jesus also calls his sheep. How does he do that? Well, he doesn't do so audibly. Sometimes people say things like, "Well, the Lord told me so and so." I understand what they mean by that, but the Lord doesn't actually speak to us in an audible voice anymore. He used to. In the Old Testament, he revealed himself to the prophets in an audible voice, but he doesn't do that anymore. But he still speaks. How does he speak? Well, he speaks through the conscience. He convicts us when we do something wrong. That's how He speaks to us. He speaks to us through providence. You could have a near miss, an accident, or suddenly be struck down with a serious illness, or you get a phone call one night that a loved one has passed away, and that's the Lord speaking, telling you that you're not going to live forever. One day you too must die, and therefore you too must be ready to seek the Lord, to find Him. But He speaks to us especially through His holy and infallible Word. That's why we read from the Bible this morning, because that's where the Good Shepherd speaks to us. Still today, He speaks. And when the Good Shepherd speaks, the sheep will hear. And this isn't just an outward hearing. This isn't just a hearing with the physical ear. No, the hearing that Jesus speaks of here is a spiritual hearing. It is the hearing of the heart. It is a kind of hearing that only the Holy Spirit can work in our hearts when He regenerates us and causes us to be born again. Then we hear the sound of the gospel. And lots of people who hear the preaching of the gospel, but it doesn't have any effect on them because they don't really hear. Hearing, they hear not. Seeing, they see not. But when the Spirit of God works in the heart, then we begin to hear with spiritual ears.
We understand that the message that's being proclaimed is not just a bunch of words, but it comes to us personally, and it comes with urgency. And it demands a response. And so Jesus comes to us in the preaching of the Word of God. And when the sheep hear this, Jesus says, they follow me. They respond. They don't just remain indifferent. They don't answer back. They don't protest. They don't set down all kinds of conditions. Well, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, then this and that has to happen first. No, they don't do any of those things. They simply follow Him. Whatever He says in His Word, the sheep follow Him. And they follow Him in every circumstance. They follow Him in times of prosperity. Oh yes, then it's easy to follow the Lord. But they also follow Him in times of adversity. They follow Him in times of health. Then again, it's easy to follow the Lord. But they also follow Him in times of sickness. They follow Him in every circumstance, even into the valley of the shadow of death. Because they trust Him. They know that the Shepherd loves them and wants the best for them. And even though the circumstances in which they find themselves from time to time may cause them pain and sorrow, they know that somehow this is given to them by God and is meant for their good. And so they follow Him. And John was a living example of that. He followed the Lord Jesus. I said already that when he received the news that he had cancer, he didn't protest. He didn't complain. At least not that I heard. He didn't shake his fist at God. He didn't say, "Why is this happening to me? What have I done to deserve this?" That's how the world talks. But that's not how the sheep speak. The sheep meekly, calmly follow the shepherd. Only a few days before he died, when I visited with him in the hospital, I asked him, I said, "John, are you ready to go?" He said, "Yes." "Are you at peace with God, John?" He said, "Yes." "Are you afraid to die, John?" He said, "No." John heard the voice of the shepherd calling him out of this life into the life to come. And John, by God's grace, followed him into that valley of the shadow of death. Are you following the good shepherd wherever he leads? Are you following in the footsteps of your husband, your father, your grandfather? If so, then you are of all people in the world richly and greatly blessed. Why do I say that? Because what Jesus says here, He gives His sheep a gift. And what is that gift? It is the greatest gift you can ever imagine. It is a gift that no man can give to another man. It is a gift that only God can give to His people. And that gift is eternal life. Jesus says, "And I give them, my sheep, eternal life." You say, what is eternal life? Well, sometimes when we hear that expression, eternal life, we think of life that never ends. It just goes on and on and on and on forever. And there's no end point. And that's true, of course. But the kind of life that Jesus is speaking about here is not just a continuation of this life, but he's talking here about life in the fullest sense of the term. He's talking about life the way it was meant to be lived. Life without sin. Life in communion with God. Life lived to the glory of God. Jesus says in verse 10 of this chapter, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He gives abundant life to His children, to His sheep. Life with God in heaven. What a wonder that is. Just pause there for a moment and think about that. I give to them eternal life. You know, when man partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he brought on himself the curse of death. God said, the day you eat of that tree, you will surely die. But man didn't listen to God. He followed his own lusts, his own inclinations, and the advice of the devil. And he partook of that tree. And in so doing, as we said, he brought upon himself eternal death. But now the Lord Jesus Christ comes and he says, but I will give them something else. I will give them eternal life. And you notice, he says he will give this to the sheep. They don't have to earn it. They don't have to pay for it. It's given to them. He gives it to them freely out of sovereign grace. And then, as if to underscore the certainty of that promise, our Lord goes on to say, and they shall never perish. That means no one can ever take that gift away from them. Sometimes we can do that. We can give a gift to somebody. And especially if they're children. If the children are bad, we say, no, if you don't behave yourself, I'm going to take that present away. And sometimes we do that as parents. And that hurts. That hurts the child. And hopefully the message gets through to the child. I better not act that way again. Otherwise, mom and dad is going to take that present away from me. But the Lord Jesus will never do that. When He gives this gift of eternal life, they have it forever. Even though they may backslide, even though they may constantly sin against Him, even though their faith may be very weak, Jesus says, they shall never perish. When the Lord saves a sinner, that sinner will be saved to all eternity. And the reason is, Jesus tells us, because He has His sheep in His hand. And when I think of those words of the Lord Jesus, here's my watch. And if I say, well, I've got my watch in my hand, that is true. I have my watch in my hand. But that's not how Jesus has His sheep. If Jesus had His sheep in His hand like that, then somebody could come along and take that sheep away from Him. And the devil is constantly trying to take the sheep of the Lord Jesus away from Him. But Jesus doesn't hold His sheep in His hand like this, but He holds His sheep in His hand like this. They're tight. He grasps them. He holds on to them so that nothing and no one can snatch them from there. And that means that not a single one will ever go lost. Not even the devil himself can take away the sheep of the Lord Jesus. No, they will be kept and preserved to all eternity. Oh, is that not a comfort? Child of God, sometimes in our experience we may feel that the enemies are so strong, aren't they? The world has such an attraction. The devil is so powerful. My faith is so weak. We feel like Peter on the waves. We start out okay, but then we see the waves and we hear the wind and we feel it all around us and we begin to panic and we fear. We cry out, Lord, save me. That's how the life of faith is often. But Jesus assures us here that no matter how great the obstacles may be, no matter how weak our faith may be, no matter how dark and lonely the path may be, no matter how strong the enemies may be, nothing and no one will be able to snatch us from the hand of the Good Shepherd. Paul put it like this in Romans 8. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he goes on to mention something. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded. What? I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can you say that for yourself? Now, most people today think that everybody goes to heaven. As long as you don't do anything particularly bad, you'll get there. It's not true. It's a lie. Only the sheep of the shepherd go to heaven. And that's why I have to ask you this morning, are you a sheep of the good shepherd? In one of my visits with John, he often mentioned something that weighed very heavy on his heart. And that was the spiritual state of his children and his grandchildren. He told me that while he was certain about the spiritual state of some of you, he was not so certain about the spiritual state of others. And that grieved him. It concerned him deeply. And I know that if he were sitting in that chair, he would say to me, Pastor, tell them. Tell them. Ask them. Are you ready to die? Are you ready to see the Lord? Are you a sheep of the good shepherd? When your time comes, will you be gathered into the sheepfold of Christ? Or will you be outside forever, cast off from His presence in that place of eternal woe where Jesus says there is nothing but weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? That's the question that death confronts us with. It's a question that we all need to be able to answer today. Because we don't know what tomorrow may bring. Some of you may not see the end of this day. And that's why the Bible comes to us with solemnity. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not on your deathbed. Not when you're 80 years old. Not when you're in the hospital. But today. Today is the day of salvation, and today is still the day of grace. Still today, the Lord invites, and He says, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, no matter how hard your heart may be, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. It's that simple. And it's that wonderful. And John believed this with all of his heart. And now he knows with a certainty that is unimaginable. He knows that it is absolutely true. Can you say the same? Amen. Let's pray together. Our gracious God, what a wonder, Lord, that Thou hast sent Thy only begotten Son into the world for miserable sinners who deserve nothing but Thy wrath and condemnation. And that the promise of the gospel is that whoever believes on Him, whoever trusts in Him, they will have eternal life. And they will become sheep of the shepherd. Lord, by nature, we're not sheep of the shepherd. We're wolves. We are at enmity against God and against His Word and against His promises and His gospel. And all we pray, Lord, that if any among us this morning are still in that condition, wilt Thou use the message this morning to convict and to draw, that they may find life in Him. Lord, we rejoice in Thy goodness toward us who are Thy people, who are sheep of the Good Shepherd. Lord, we thank Thee for giving us spiritual ears to hear His voice and spiritual legs to follow Him wherever He leads. And oh, we pray for Thy sustaining grace. Lead us further in this day and in the time to come. Grant, O Lord, that we may always be attuned to Thy voice, and that we may rest assured in the promises of the gospel, and that the Lord Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, gives eternal life to His sheep, and that no one shall snatch them from there. Oh, we bless Thee, Lord, and we love Thee, and we thank Thee for all that Thou hast done. We pray for Thy blessing as we leave here, and as we go to the cemetery, and as the remains of our dear brother will be lowered into the ground. Lord, we pray, kindle within our hearts faith and hope. Hope in the resurrection to come. Hope in that day when the Lord Jesus shall come with the clouds of glory, and the trumpet shall sound, and the archangel shall shout, and the dead in Christ will rise and go to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, dry away our tears. Fill us with hope and comfort. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing the hymn in your program, "It Is Well With My Soul."
I just remind you to please put your psalters and Bibles on the pew seat. Thank you.